Sorry for preempting Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. My name is Todd Friel. I am the executive director of Fortis Institute. We have the joy of producing Transformed and five other podcasts, all of which are ranked in the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide. Transformed is ranked in the top 0.5%. Of all podcasts globally. Why is it so popular? It's because it's so biblical and it is so helpful. And I'm preempting the beginning of the program to encourage you, if you have been helped by Transformed, would you consider becoming a gospel partner and supporting us as the year draws to a close? Such a crucial time. We have a match giving campaign, which means your gift's impact will be doubled. So if Transformed has been a blessing, would you please consider blessing us with a year-end gift? You can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today I have a special guest, my buddy James Parker, who is a Christian productivity coach. He has been doing that since 2019. He is ACBC certified or in process, almost certified. TMU grad from the 1800s, I think. The founding. I had to add that one in there. James is here. We're going to talk actually about Christian productivity coaching, but also James is one of my just personal friends, one of my elders at our church, married to Kamiko with four awesome kids. And today we'd like to help frame productivity, planning. How does a Christian coach kind of interact with those? So James, welcome, first of all.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, glad you're here. Can you start us off with what is Christian productivity coaching?
Yeah, I think when most people think of productivity in general, they're typically picturing things like efficiency or output or just getting more done. But when we look at scripture, we see something very different. I think Matthew 16:26 actually has a really good definition of the world's definition of productivity, which says, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul?" And so the fact that the world is looking to gain the whole world, like that's what they're trying to do. And Jesus warns against that kind of productivity and that kind of gain. And so the Bible doesn't use the word productivity, but there are many truths and realities in scripture that aren't necessarily used, like the Trinity or the incarnation. Like we don't find words like that in scripture, but we do find that biblical reality in there. And so that's what I want to talk about a little bit is productivity and what that is.
Yeah, please do. So can you help kind of frame in, like, I think as a Christian, when we think about productivity, we kind of think of like the person in a business suit, they have like the earpiece that they're talking in and it's like, buy, sell, you know, and we're like, man, I'll never be productive like that. So like, what is it? Help us understand as Christians, how should we be thinking about productivity?
Yeah, that's a great question. What's interesting is the root word produce actually comes from like, if you think of a grocery store, like the produce section of a grocery store is where we find like fruit and vegetables. And so productivity is literally about bearing good fruit, scripturally speaking. John talks about this in John 15 about bearing fruit. And so rather than that executive who's thinking about, you know, widgets and their schedule and all those things, scripture is more talking about bearing fruit and more like seasons. And so when we think about productivity, we're looking at what is God's design for man and what did he put us here on earth for? And even from Genesis, it says that the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it in Genesis 2 and to have dominion and to fill the earth and subdue it in Genesis 1. But I think really one of the best ways to talk about productivity is how Jesus expands on that in Matthew 25 when he talks about stewardship.
Yep. So you're saying to a degree, like productivity and fruitfulness are very similar. And then one step further, busyness is not necessarily the same thing as fruitfulness or productivity.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that the biggest difference between busyness and stewardship is that busyness is just taking action, whereas stewardship is taking action on what matters most.
Yeah. Man, it's sometimes hard. It's like, oh yeah, totally. And then in my everyday, it's like, but then I got 10 emails, yep. You know, and I like feel compelled to answer them when maybe that's not the best use of my time right now. Or maybe it's like, I have an individual asking to chat and it's like, well, I don't always know the best way to prioritize. Like, what is it? You know, how do I stay focused on my overall mission as opposed to being in the moment and being flexible. So this will be good. I hope we can keep teasing it out. So, all right. So tell me, I agree. The parable of the talents is like the epitome of how Christians think about using resources and so forth. So kind of tease that out for us. What does that look like?
Yeah. And I could read a little bit too of the parable just to bring us all kind of up to speed on what that says. So in Matthew 25:14-23, it says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" And so in this parable, Jesus is making it super clear that not everyone is going to receive the same measure of stewardship. I don't have the exact same stewardship that Greg has. And so 1 servant received 5 talents, another 2, and another 1. The point of this in our stewardship, and as we think about stewardship biblically, the point isn't how much they were given, but actually how faithful they were and what was entrusted to them. And I think one of the greatest temptations for us as believers when we think about that stewardship is to compare it with someone else's stewardship, whether that's our spouse or our friends or a pastor or even our favorite authors and podcasters and teachers. But comparison leads really, I think, one of 2 ways. It'll either lead to pride because you actually think you're better than the other person, or it'll lead to just discouragement because you think you're supposed to be that kind of a person or have that kind of a stewardship. And so I really truly believe that faithfulness grows when we stop comparing and actually just start cultivating the field that God has given to us. God's not asking us to be faithful with someone else's garden. He's asking us to tend our own.
It seems to me, too, that some of the guys that are the most secure in who they are, they know their talents. You know, it's like, oh, no, I'm a 5-talenter, I'm a 2-talenter, and I am not jealous, I am not envious. I support a 10-talenter type of person. And I think you can be a person on the outside, we would all look at and be like, yo, you're 10-talenter. But inside, they're very insecure, and they're always trying to work to validate themselves and prove something. And, you know, it's kind of like very hollow on the inside. So it's like there's a freedom that comes with knowing your talents and knowing what God's entrusted to you and then being faithful to excel at that thing.
And transparently, I think all of us struggle with that to some extent. You know, if I were to have a relationship with you where I looked at the talents that the Lord has given to you versus the talents the Lord has given to me, it would be very easy to be discouraged at times or be frustrated with like, oh, I wish I could do that or I wish I could do this. But it's actually a joy to release that kind of pressure off of ourselves.
Right.
And to say like, no, the Lord is good. The Lord knew exactly what he was giving. My good friend Reagan Rose, in his book, Well Done, he says this great quote. He says, "God gives no little gifts. What you have been entrusted with is of inestimable value." And just the idea that like, even if you only have 1 talent or 2 or 10 or 15, like that is not a small gift.
Right.
It is exactly what the Lord has for you. And I think that's super important.
So can you clarify, all right, the world is going to make productivity, accomplishing more. Everyone's trying to be 10 talent. Like for the Christian, what is it really, really about? What is productivity really, really about?
Yeah. Productivity really is about stewardship. And Tim Challies, in his book, Do More Better, defines productivity as effectively stewarding my gifts, talents, time, and energy, and enthusiasm for the good of others and the glory of God. And I mentioned Reagan's book, Well Done. He goes even further, and he says that stewardship is the Christian life. And I think that's a really good summation, which is that is what we are to do. It's not just a matter of our money. It's about everything.
How would you critique, you know, a lot of the James Clear, like Atomic Habits, New York, that's like, what's the biggest pushback that you would say a Christian needs to be discerning about with the world's definition of productivity?
Yeah, I think those books can be a common grace help in figuring out what would be potentially some good things we could do with our time as we steward what God has given to us. But we have to have the mindset of this is not ours. It does not belong to us. It's not about me. It's not about my career. It's not. It's about the Lord and His glory. And so I think what those books completely lack in is the reason for what we're doing, which is we want to please the Lord. Mm. He's given this to us as a gift. How can we steward that? Not how can we, going back to Matthew 16, how can we gain the whole world?
It feels so seductive too, because at times it's like, yeah, you know, like I do want the C-suite. Yeah, like then I could buy a house for my family. And then before long, it's really about us gaining the world, not about us pleasing the Lord. And it feels like the rubber meets the road sometimes as well, where we begin to compromise biblical principles, workaholism in the name of productivity. And it's like, okay, my marriage is falling apart, but my career is thriving. That James Clearisms, the Atomic Habitsism, don't stop that. You know, it's like we need a biblical worldview to keep us focused. Yeah. All right. Well, we're just getting warmed up. If you're joining us, remember, this is James Parker, special guest today. We're talking about Christian productivity and currently, like, how do we think through productivity? So let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll get to this concept of faithful stewardship requires us learning how to prioritize. So we'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford and his guest, James Parker, in just a moment. But his guest, Mr. Parker, just dropped something, I think, rather profound. He said stewardship is taking action on what matters most in busyness. Well, that's just taking action. Man, if that doesn't describe most of our lives, and that distinction that they're talking about, the distinction between busyness and stewardship, is exactly what drives everything at the Masters University. Dr. Gifford is a professor there, and James's point about cultivating your own field instead of comparing with others, well, that's exactly the educational philosophy at TMU. They're helping young people figure out their specific calling, whether that's biblical counseling, pastoral ministry, education, business, engineering, whatever. TMU is teaching students to be faithful with their actual talents. Check out masters.edu/transformed. And now, something else that I know will help you stay focused on what matters versus just staying busy, and that is Fortis Plus. There are hundreds of hours of audio and video content available at Fortis Plus right now, but we are adding to it every single day. It's content that's designed specifically to help you stop and ask, hey, am I just busy or am I being a good steward? And it's also completely free. And the reason that we're able to keep Fortis Plus and every resource that we create in this ministry free is because of you. Gospel partners, men and women just like you, who have decided that the content that we're producing in this ministry is worth investing in. So I want to urge you to go to FortisInstitute.org right now to see what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner if you are already giving faithfully to your local church. That's your number one giving priority. And if you're not giving faithfully there, don't give to our ministry. Get that area of your life taken care of first. Then go to FortisInstitute.org and get all of the answers to all of the questions that you have about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford and his guest, James Parker. This is Transform.
Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about Christian productivity. I'm joined by my friend and productivity coach, James Parker. James, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We have, in our last segment, kind of worked through how does a Christian think about productivity? And now, as we transition into our final segment, it's like, how do we do that practically? Like, how do we start to get into what does it mean to be a 5-talenter, 2-talenter? How do I discern what matters most? Like, hook us up.
Yeah. So one of the things I think about when I said Christian productivity coaching was, number one, we need to redefine productivity through the Word of God. But the other thing we need to do is actually define Christian through the Word of God. So we've seen what makes productivity biblical. That is, it's about faithfulness and fruitfulness rather than busyness or output. But what makes productivity Christian? And really, it's the heart behind it, which is the gospel reality that our faithfulness flows from grace, not as a way to earn it. So as we think about prioritizing, I think we first need to start about, well, what makes it Christian? Because that Christian kingdom values is going to determine what our priorities are.
Yeah.
Ultimately, when we see God face to face, we are not going to get his embrace in heaven because of the well done that we've lived. We are going to get his embrace ultimately because of the well done Jesus lived on our behalf. So I think it's super important that we are not earning well done. We are living well done. And I think that's a good place to start as we think about prioritization, is we need to first start about, if we don't start with the gospel, we're going to prioritize wrong.
Can you clarify, what do you mean by earning well done versus living well done?
Yeah, so I think one of the things is that faithful stewardship is the fruit of salvation. It's not the means of earning it.
Got it.
So scripture shows that well done describes the life of a redeemed believer who abides in Christ and bears fruit through his spirit. So if we look at a verse like 2 Corinthians 5:21, which says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So believers do not earn Christ's approval by works. We receive it because of his finished work on our behalf. So that union with Christ and his obedience, that's what's credited to us.
Right.
And his spirit enables us to be moving towards sanctified, faithful stewardship.
Yeah, I feel like it should mobilize us. You know, like when we have been saved, we want to be stewards. And I'll never forget the John Piper, "Don't waste your life." And he talks about individuals retiring to collect seashells, you know?
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I was like, oh man, I can't meet Jesus having frittered my life away. So what you're speaking to is like, because of what Christ has done, I want my life to serve him and I want to be faithful in that.
Absolutely. And at the heart of Christian productivity is prioritization, because prioritization is ultimately about worship. So productivity is not first about time management, but really it's about our value alignment, ordering our life around what matters most to God. And I think we see that all over scripture, but one of the best passages obviously is Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And that verse really frames every goal, every to-do list, every desire for accomplishment, because Christian productivity first begins with seeking God, giving Christ his rightful place at the top of our priorities. And so I think that's just the place we have to start.
Yep. And it seems to me like if you're meeting with a secular coach, like they can't touch that. Like Matthew 6:33, it's like, you're going to say, make the most money. How do you get promoted the fastest? How do you finish your MBA? And what you're saying is, no, as a Christian, we have to think about our priorities through the lens of scripture, not money, expediency, the path of ease or power. So it's like, this is necessary for all of us are prioritizing, whether we're thinking about that prioritization or not.
Yep. And a great example of that actually is in Luke 10:38-32. Jesus illustrates this clearly in the home of Mary and Martha. So I'm just going to read that passage real quick, because I think it's so important. So Luke 10:38-42. "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.' And that last phrase, where Mary has chosen the good portion, I think it's so key there. So that word chosen, really to choose or to decide, when we think of the word decide, it actually comes from like the root to cut or to kill. You know, you might be familiar with terms like incision or, right, you know, homicide or pesticide, like yep, to cut or to kill. And really the idea there is that you have to say no to some things in order to say yes to the best things. And what Jesus seems to be saying there is like, hey, when Mary made that cut, she grabbed the correct piece. The portion she picked was sitting at my feet and listening to me. And so the Lord has presented us with a lot of options in life, and he's calling us to be faithful stewards, is to make some of those cuts, to say no to certain things and say yes to the best things. And so both women were doing good things, but only one was doing what mattered most. Jesus didn't rebuke Martha for serving. He just reminded her that sitting at his feet came first.
Right.
I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. I think he captured it beautifully. It's a little bit older English, so hopefully you can bear with me on this. He said, quote, "We must have only one aim. Had we plenty of time, we might try two or three schemes at once, though even then we should most probably fail for want of concentrating our energies. But as we have very little time, we had better economize it by attending to one thing,"
yep,
end quote. So that's why I define Christian productivity as stewarding what matters most to God.
Yep. Yep. And if we're not careful, the idea of like mission creep, you know, or like the tyranny of the urgent, sometimes it feels like the tyranny of the email, the tyranny of the text message. It distracts me from what I should be about and honoring the Lord, and then doing that in the different spheres of my life.
Yep.
And what you're saying is like, we have to really like dial back in and say, no, as Christians, we define productivity according to God's standards. And then you got to be intentional about pursuing that.
Yes. And that intentionality is huge. As you think about what it means to choose the one thing that Jesus is calling to us, one of the great resources that I like to point my clients to help you evaluate,
yeah,
the different spheres of your life is obviously your book, Heart and Habits, in chapter 9 on prioritizing and habit development. You outline those different spheres of habits in the Christian life, and you show how our priorities are shaped by each one of those. And so this one's a really helpful tool for anyone wanting to grow in wise stewardship.
Okay. All right. I got to pause. The listener, as you're hearing this, okay, James is being modest because he and I actually co-wrote this book together, and Heart and Habits came out in 21, and he and I had met like over lunch multiple times. So he's kind of like referring to his material that I had transliterated onto paper for him. But yes, totally. In that book, we both talked about this concept of making decisions with God first. So you're not just starting with your vocation, you're working your way out. And it is odd to me. I mean, it's odd to me how someone can jump directly to vocational productivity and fail to recognize that God is not at the center of that plan. Like, that always just feels like a weird misprioritization.
Yeah. And I think you're overstating my contribution, but I do appreciate your kind words. But yes, if we're not prioritizing things in order of priority, our lives are going to look completely different. And I feel like we would be not stewarding our lives the way God would intend if we haven't ordered that in some fashion.
What do you see in your clients the most that prevents them from being productive? Like, they're in the Martha phase.
Yeah. It's amazing that when you're clear on what you're saying yes to, it makes it so much easier to say no to everything else.
Okay.
When you don't have clarity on what to say yes to, everything looks like a really good opportunity. You're not sure if the Lord has presented this to you to say yes to. And so people tend to say yes to too many things. Okay. Whether you're at a stay-at-home mom or you're an executive, the temptation is always to say yes.
So then you've said yes to maybe 70% the wrong things or 60% the wrong things because you just haven't sat down and carefully said, is this part of what God wants me to do? Does it fit within my own personal prioritization?
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Yep. And that's kind of like what makes this coaching. So we've got Christian productivity coaching.
Right.
And I think what makes it coaching is that typically in biblical counseling, you're dealing with people who are stuck or struggling in sin.
Right.
Whereas a lot of times when it comes to me, I'm really helping people who feel stuck or struggling with their stewardship.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is about, hey, what should I be saying yes to in this next season so I can feel confident to say no to the other things right now?
Yeah, cool. Okay. Well, guys, this is the end of just our first episode with James. James, how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so if anyone feels stuck or overwhelmed or unsure how to move forward in their stewardship, I would just love to walk that with you. You can feel free to schedule a free discovery call with me at christianproductivitycoaching.com. We can talk about how to pursue clarity, how to pursue faithfulness and fruitfulness in the field that God has entrusted specifically to you.
Yeah, thanks, brother. Okay, let me pray for us. We'll be done. Lord, thank you for James and the work that you're doing through him. Lord, for many of us, we need to get unstuck, and we need someone like James to just help us think biblically about those priorities. So would you help the listeners who are just sensing that they can't enter into another year making the same mistakes and sometimes foolish decisions? Would you help those listeners to take that next step and to seek to honor you and get some help to be able to be faithful this next year, we pray? Lord, we know that we make our plans, but you're the one that establishes our steps. So we pray that we would plan for your glory and that you would establish those steps for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.